There were a couple other things that Twitch did add, which are good. I want to talk about really quickly.
Is that how it is, though? I bring up all the bad points of
Yeah,
Twitch.
Exactly.
Then it comes over to you, and you get to talk about the new features. Okay, I see.
I'll let you be the bad guy. And okay, I'll just be
bad
the,
cop, good cop.
The good, yeah, exactly. It's how we do it around here.
Welcome back to the Gaming Careers Podcast with me, Pete Wilkins, and as always, my co-host, Benjamin Green. We've got quite a lot to talk about this week. Some new Twitch features that are arriving soon, a new streaming platform potentially launching today, some questionable ad choices that Amazon was running on Twitch, and as always, the purple screen of death, which is coming back to haunt us even worse. I think we'll probably start with the most talked about topic, which is Twitch's Women Alliance, with women being spelt with an XN rather than EN or AN. But first, let's catch up with our co-host, Ben. How are you? How was your last week?
Yeah, man, I'm good, Pete. It's been a pretty busy week, one way for the weekend, but happy to be back. And there's clearly a lot of Twitch news happening, so no shortage of that this week. I'm well, though, man. How are you? We never ask how you are, too.
I'm very well, yeah. Fairly busy week. Obviously had the video that we talked about last week go out, and that's done very well, which I'm very thankful for. Always the videos that you work harder on don't do as well, so I'm glad that it is doing well. But pretty busy. I've got another video going out on Thursday, which is a product launch, which is embargoed, so unfortunately can't talk about it until Thursday, but having to work hard behind the scenes to make sure everything's done for that, so that they can go out with the new product. But yeah, quite a lot going on this week. You know, we kind of steer clear of drama and political stances, but when it takes this kind of momentum where so many people are talking about it, I feel like we have to touch on it. So for those of you that haven't heard about the Twitch Women Alliance, I actually think the decision behind what they're trying to do is great. It was just their messaging that they really messed up. And Twitch is such a big platform now that, you know, anything that people can complain about, they will do. And you know, when it's a bigger mistake as this, they really do. So let's talk through it for people that are hearing this for the first time. Essentially, Twitch released a blog post along with some emails about this new initiative, really celebrating Women's History Month, which is March. So obviously we're in March now. So this is what they've sent out. And they've tried to be as inclusive as possible with their term women. And they've reworded the word women, WOMXN. And I think they're trying to, you know, include trans and non-binary women in that. But really, the fallout has been that they've kind of done the opposite, and they've made these people feel like they're not real women, and, you know, they need to use a new word to describe them. So just really struggling to do the right thing, even though what they're trying to do, the initiative of actually including women with, you know, more learning resources and Discord service to help women grow on Twitch, and they kind of, you know, done the opposite. So did you read this? What's your take on it? You know, how did you come about discovering this news?
I saw it yesterday on Twitter, just browsing through Twitch, through all the feed and everything. I actually thought this was a typo when I first saw it, because I just saw the first WMXN, but then I saw more of it, and it was in the video, and so realizing it actually wasn't a typo, it was an actual thing they're trying to do here. And like you said, we try to avoid political topics, but I think at this point it's become less political and pretty universal. For what I've seen, like 90% of people probably kind of feel the same way about it. Basically, like you said, they want to be more inclusive of women, especially women who maybe don't fit traditionally into the women category or in the non-binary, etc. But the problem is, it seems like it did the opposite of that. It kind of ended up excluding people. And then also I saw people compare it to like putting people in one category, and you can go find those people on Twitch specifically if you want to find people in that category. And so I think it was too woke, was the phrase I saw from people, is Twitch trying to be woke with their advertising and maybe going too far in the other direction instead of just using plain old women and letting people fit into that. There was some really good coverage from people on Twitter and on Twitch as well for how they felt about this. I don't know if you saw Code Carnage's tweet talking about it, who's on the council, by the way, but interesting to see his take on it. Do you want to cover that really quick?
Yeah. I think he probably summed it up, from my opinion anyway, as to how I feel. He said, quick suggestion, the motive is solid, the direction is good. Take the tweet down, replace the spelling WOMXN with the normal spelling, W-O-M-E-N, and then pop it back up. sometimes being overly inclusive can lead to being exclusive. So yeah, I feel like that really sums it up quite well, because like I said, the initiative behind what they're trying to do and like all the services behind this alliance, I think are great. We need more women on the platform for sure. But they've ended up kind of doing the opposite as to what they've wanted to do by using this spelling. And yeah, exactly the same as you. I saw the tweet. That must be a typo. They're going to take that down and put it back up. And then I started watching the video and like every third word was this spelling of women. And I was like, oh, right, this is real. I need to learn what this is. Because, you know, obviously as like a white man, I need to educate myself about this kind of stuff way more. So I'm trying to learn more about it. And then I'm just seeing the replies going crazy, you know, at Twitch for spelling it this way and, you know, actually ending it being more exclusive than inclusive about it all. But yeah, it's what I kind of found surprising about the Co-Carnage tweet was more that they're not being included in this kind of messaging, you know, like the Safety Council would be the perfect people to go to when you're trying to work out how to arrange like a, you know, a Women's History Month and trying to be as inclusive as possible. Because he obviously does have a good take on it. So why haven't they utilized the fact that he's on the Twitch, you know, Safety Council?
Yeah, I think like they may be having some part in it, but it seems like this is a pattern now where I've seen Co tweet out a couple of times about things Twitch has done and kind of publicly say the opposite direction or something. I think that's because he's probably at the point now, because he's on the council, people assume that like he's part of the problem if he doesn't say something. So he has to make his stance public so people know like they did this and I was not for this, right? I was not part of the decision to do this. And maybe other council members are doing that too, but it seems like, again, the council doesn't really seem to have a lot of influence on what Twitch is doing right now. And I know it's a marketing thing, so maybe they weren't really involved in that or something, but I don't know. It just seems like the council, every time we see this kind of thing come up, council's not really super involved in the discussions that are happening at Twitch.
I saw some reports on this saying that there was like quite a lot of internal discussion at the All Hands Twitch meeting where people were saying, this isn't a good take, like, don't do it, don't spell it like this. And then it still got pushed through. So I think there's quite a lot of, you know, internal arguments at Twitch about decisions like this. And it sounds like maybe upper management are pushing things through, even ignoring advice. So I wonder if Twitch Safety Council are being included and ignored. That's obviously, I think, a bigger problem than if they're just not being included. But at this point, Co-Carnage just has so many good takes that he should probably just straight up run the Twitter account for Twitch, I think, and just vet anything that's coming through before they send it out to the public.
Yeah, he's the new social media manager over there now. Well, that's weird, though. I mean, like you said, if the council is having influence and they're just ignoring that, then what's the point of the council? Like, why does this thing even exist if you're not going to listen to what they're saying? I don't know. There's got to be some reworking or redesigning of the council, because I love the idea of the council and it could be really cool if they actually have influence. But so far, that does not seem to be the case. So hopefully that'll change. I did want to say, by the way, we are two white men talking about this on the podcast. So that's why I was at least at first a bit hesitant to talk about this topic. But it did seem over the past 24 hours, it became pretty one-sided on most people don't like this. Even people who are supposed to be for are not for this. So I think it's okay to talk about it. But if you guys have a different take and you are kind of in either a female creator or a non-binary creator, just let us know your thoughts on this, because I'd love to hear if someone who thinks this is really a good thing and maybe we're kind of misreading how the situation is going.
Yeah, it's what I completely agree. Like I'm trying to learn as much about this stuff as anybody else, because I feel like it's been completely separate to how I've grown up and all these kind of things. So I definitely feel like I'm taking an uneducated opinion and I'm trying to learn more and more whenever I see this stuff coming up. When we're trying to like segue between points, usually we try and find a common theme. And I hate hating on Twitch. So the common theme here is actually we're going to shift to Amazon, who are the owners of Twitch, because I think this actually came out just after last week's podcast, so we probably just missed reporting on it because it feels like about a week ago that it came out. But Amazon, effectively in the US, in different states, were targeting ads on Twitch they were anti-union ads for people working at Amazon. They all sort of had these like brightly colored backgrounds. I saw like orange ones and red ones, like, and I think they were targeted at different states that were going on in America. But yeah, apparently these ads were being run on Twitch, targeted to people in those locations, basically encouraging Amazon employees not to unionize and to stay out of a union. So do you want to explain a little bit about this for us not based in the US, what this kind of stuff means?
Yeah, this was weird. I didn't actually see the ad live when I was watching Twitch, but apparently, like you said, it was in certain states where I guess this is happening. It was an ad that, like you said, was basically, it was Amazon employees who were talking to the camera and saying, oh, you know, we don't need unions. Like, Amazon is great. They take good care of us. Like, we would never join a union. You shouldn't join a union either. And so obviously that's kind of strange when it's Amazon's own platform that they're running those ads on. And it also seemed kind of a forced ad. The weird part about this is apparently they turned these ads off. Like, Twitch tweeted out and said, hey guys, we removed this because this should never have been a thing. Political places are not able to advertise on our platform. But to my knowledge, it's an Amazon ad, right? It's, yes, it's like some anti-union organization, but it had the Amazon logo, like huge Amazon logo at the end of the ad. So I assume they're behind it. And I don't really think that's political. It's kind of weird. Like, how do you not know that your own company is running ads on your own platform if that's the case? Did you, I don't know, thoughts on that?
I mean, it's definitely Amazon's incentive for people not to unionize, isn't it? Because they want all the control over all their employees. So I imagine these are like 100% Amazon ads, and whoever, whichever team was behind it spent the money to then put them onto Twitch. Like, I don't know if it's an internal thing that like broke down in communication. I think they probably went the official route and like bought adverts on Twitch and targeted them. And then Twitch is all of a sudden like, whoa, these shouldn't be running on our platform. We don't care if you own us. So, I mean, good from Twitch to have a speedy response and instantly stop these ads from running. But yeah, it's not surprising that people see these ads and then are like, wait, but Amazon owns Twitch. Like, how are these adverts running and being so targeted?
Yeah, and the thing is, though, that Twitch is not an open ads platform in the same way that like YouTube is, where you can go make your own ad and submit it and have it up there. You have to go through the whole process to get your stuff on Twitch. Like, there's, you have to email somebody, and I assume if you're a bigger org like Amazon, then you have a different route. But still, like, it's not just a simple matter of adding a video and then marketing for advertising. It's an unmade process. You have to go through someone to have that. So clearly somebody put the ad up there, and maybe there was some miscommunication internally on like which ads are okay, but it's still an Amazon ad. So to see them like criticizing a company that's their own company, it was just very strange. I saw a lot of really funny like mockery ads of this. I don't know if you saw, somebody did one with the Twitch ads where it was like, it was a Twitch streamer with like a gun to their head behind them. And they were like, I love the ads on Twitch. Ads are so good. I would never change the ads experience. Twitch loves us very much. And that's kind of what it felt like. So I thought that was really funny. I guess it's good they removed it finally, but I'm just surprised this was even on the platform to begin with, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, it's comical. And I'm glad to see it kind of blow up on Twitter, because these kind of responses are always funny, I think, when you see things like that. Let's stay on the Twitch side of things then. We've talked, I think, the last couple of weeks about the purple screen of death. And this kind of really blew up this week. I feel like a lot of people all of a sudden started having issues. A lot of viewers, partners who aren't meant to be seeing any kinds of ads, people that don't have ad blockers, people that are already watching on Twitch, kept seeing the purple screen of death. Now, this didn't happen to me, but it happened to a couple of close streamer friends of mine who are partners who shouldn't be getting ads at all. And a lot of people in the Gaming Careers Discord started complaining about the fact that they were seeing this message encouraging people to watch on Twitch, even though they were already watching on Twitch with ad blocks disabled. So did you experience this at all over the weekend or over the past week?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this for the past couple weeks, but I have never actually experienced it myself until this week. And it was really bad. They must have overcorrected something, because I was seeing this pop up. What would happen is, it's say for like 30 seconds, it pops up and says, you know, make sure you're watching on Twitch. If you're on Twitch, check your third party tools. So I saw that, and it would loop continuously. Like every 30 seconds would count down to one, then back to 30, and then that would repeat and repeat and repeat. And so eventually I just turned off my ad block stuff, because I was sick of seeing it. I couldn't watch Twitch otherwise. And then even after I turned off my ad blocks, it was still happening. So I don't know what was going on. I think, again, it was some sort of overcorrection where it was just happening to everybody, and that's why partners were seeing it, regardless of if you had ad block or not. So I don't know what happened. I think it has gotten better since then, I'll say. I haven't really seen this happen in the past couple of days. It was more kind of last Friday or Saturday that it happened, I think. But it was really bad. I was trying to watch the Nintendo Direct stuff, and you're like watching this announcement, and then right in the middle, this purple screen pops up, and you're sitting there waiting for 30 seconds, knowing that all the content's being shown. You're like, well, I guess I can't watch that. So it was really bad. I actually went to YouTube because it was so bad, because I just got so tired of watching it. So hopefully that is fixed, but I don't know. Hopefully they can pare back how much they're showing it, because it was crazy when I was watching it.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly sums it up. There was loads of clips that I saw posted on Reddit of partnered streamers who were watching, I think it must have been the Nintendo release like you were, and then in their co-stream, the screen goes purple. Obviously, it's still got their webcam in the corner, and they're like, what is going on? Like, it's just such a bad experience. But it does seem like it was a bug that's been fixed now, because I haven't seen many complaints about it recently. They probably were going in tinkering with that purple screen of death, and then ended up messing up something, so everybody started seeing it. So hopefully that's been fixed. I don't think we've seen purple screen of death in general being fixed, but certainly this one where people were getting it on a 30-second loop seems to have been fixed. But you know, with Twitch, they probably will break it again in the next week or so, and we'll have something else to talk about next week.
Absolutely, I'm sure they will. There were a couple other things that Twitch did add which are good. I want to talk about really quickly.
Is that so it is, though? I bring up all the bad points of
yeah,
Twitch.
Exactly.
Then it comes over to you and you get to talk about the new features. Okay, I see.
I'll let you be the bad guy. And okay. I'll just be
bad cop, good cop.
The good, yeah, exactly. It's how we do it around here. So they added two new features that I saw or in the process of adding these features. The first one is unfollow protection, which I think is a super basic thing. And I think YouTube already has this. But basically, if you click to unfollow a channel, it'll give you an extra pop-up confirmation to say, are you sure you want to unfollow before you do? Which, again, it feels like this should just be something that is already a thing. I know it's on YouTube and other places already. I guess it's good. I don't know when it'll be rolled out to everybody, but hopefully this will help accidental unfollows if you are someone who's done that in the past. The other thing is a live preview that's coming when you hover over things. So if you look at your sidebar with followed list, or I think even over channels that you're going through in the directory, you kind of hover your mouse over this, it'll show you like a live preview of the stream, essentially, of a moving thumbnail, basically, of what's happening. I think YouTube does this as well, and it's more of kind of like a little GIF that shows for most YouTube videos, but the idea on Twitch is to show a little bit of a live look into the stream before you click into it. So I think that's a great feature, and that might help a little bit with discoverability or even just browsing other channels, because I know Twitch has had a problem with that in the past of jumping between channels, not just watching one person for a lot of viewers. Did you have thoughts on seeing these?
Yeah, I didn't actually see the hover over one, so I had a couple of questions about that. I don't know if you've been able to test it, but I wonder if that is like a GIF of 3 or 4 seconds in the past minute, or if it's actually pulling in the live feed as it's happening, because that would seem like quite technologically expensive to pull in the live feed whilst you're hovering your mouse over people. So I would have thought it'd be similar to YouTube's implementation, where when you hover over a thumbnail for a video, you get like a 5 second, it is kind of like a looping GIF basically, so you can see a little bit about what the video is about, basically trying to avoid clickbait, I think it is. But I think that's a cool new feature. The follow unfollow one, they needed to do this for a while, because I think when you arrive on someone's page on Twitch, the follow button is purple. You click it and then it goes red or green. I should have tested this before coming on, but like it changes color, but then it's a different color to the subscribe button. So you don't know if you followed or not when you arrive back at that page. You don't know which state is which. So now that they've added a box to basically, once you click unfollow, it'll come up, pop up saying, are you sure you want to unfollow this streamer? Just to help a little bit with that. But yeah, I mean, we're really scraping the barrel of Twitch new features when we're talking about an unfollow button. But I agree, the hover over your follow channel list, where you can see a bit about what they're streaming, is really useful, because, you know, people don't always update which game they're playing correctly. So you can get that idea with a little hover over, or see, you know, are they actually live or are they just on their starting soon scene still for another 5 more minutes? So I can wait. So I think that is a useful feature, definitely.
Looking a little bit deeper into the hover, and I think it's actually just a still picture, if I'm looking correctly. And I think this is something that's being rolled out still, so not everybody has this access. But for me, I'm on my Twitch dashboard. If I hover over my sidebar of followed, I just see a still thumbnail of basically what's happening in the stream, which it's not, you know, it's not a video, but it's still pretty good, I think. Because it's pretty clear and it gives you a good sense of what's happening. Like, there's some I'm going through and I want to see what this person's doing now because it's a full screen face or something. So that's pretty cool. And I hope that will help a little bit with, like I said, people moving between channels, because historically that's been a problem for Twitch of people who just come for one person and then leave when they're done and don't really go anywhere else. So that might help with that process too.
Yeah, definitely. The next bit we've got written down here is about Rolling Stone signing a deal with Twitch. Now, I'm going to be completely open and honest here and say I didn't really follow this story very closely. So hopefully you've followed it since you're the one that put it in. I obviously know what Rolling Stone magazine is. Are we talking about the same? Same stone that's rolling?
The same Rolling Stone, indeed, I believe. That's the magazine. So I took a look into this myself, and it seems like Twitch has signed a couple of deals with organizations or brands now for content. Basically, it seems like Rolling Stone, they've signed a deal with Twitch to produce content on Twitch. So I assume it'll be live streamed, but it's going to be stuff around music, pretty much. It'll be interviews with musicians, apparently, showing details how famous songs came to be, and then news programming focused on music and culture, and also live performances from up-and-coming and established musicians, apparently. So there's a lot of range there on what that could be, but basically it's going to be a full brand behind it. It seems they said they built out a full studio in the Rolling Stone office, I think, but it seems like that might not actually be used because of COVID, but at some point they might end up using that. Still pretty cool, though, because I can't think of a lot of big brands that Twitch has really signed deals with in the same way. There was actually another one that came out this week from, what's the org called? I got to see what it's called again. FIBA, F-I-B-A, which is a basketball organization, international basketball. And they signed a deal with Twitch as well to do live basketball on the platform. I think 600 hours or so of the next year. Everything from international competitions, women's leagues, youth tournaments. So pretty cool to see like non-gaming categories break out on Twitch with brands. And again, I think it's just more evidence that Twitch really wants to foster these areas and build some content on sports and music and other areas too. I think it's pretty cool, and I think we might see more brands come out and sign deals with Twitch based on this. Do you have thoughts on this, Pete?
I mean, my initial thought is I hope Rolling Stone have learned a lot about DMCA before they start a live stream, which is going to like break down how songs were made and have live performances of people's songs. I'm sure out of anybody that's streaming on Twitch who would have an understanding, Rolling Stone magazine probably do. But yeah, we haven't really seen huge brands, you know, build out studios and come across to the Twitch platform. And, you know, I can see it going one of two ways. If they have hired the right people to do it and, you know, they make it like a really good show to watch, then it'll probably do well. But I could also see it being, you know, that classic case of a brand spending lots of money to try and get in with the cool kids and, you know, not really nailing the execution and it being a 100 viewer stream where they've probably spent a lot more money on that. So, yeah, I'd like to see certainly the sports, when you're talking about the basketball organization signing with Twitch, like I can see amateur sports being huge on Twitch as soon as people start to, you know, invest in the equipment needed to be able to stream live sports to Twitch. Certainly in the UK, but I know as well in the US, you have like a huge amateur sports scene, like college football and all those kind of things get massive crowds. So I don't know if they already signed deals with TV networks that are worth millions. They probably do. So Twitch probably can't compete on that aspect, but you just keep going down the list to a more and more amateur state of sport. And eventually you'll find something that you can afford to sign to your platform and that people will watch. So I think sport's going to be massive in live streaming, whether that will be on Twitch or on YouTube or on some combination of the platforms. But I think all these platforms must be aware that they want to try and sign these big events. Because we've seen Twitch sign many deals with big esports events, you know, where it will be either exclusively signed on streamed on Twitch, or it will certainly have some kind of additional functionality with drops or something like that, but not so much with traditional media like Rolling Stone magazine or like the international basketball thing. So yeah, I think it's cool. It's kind of what I expect to be Twitch and YouTube's focus in terms of trying to get as many people live streaming as possible on their platform. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see when it comes to the big dogs of big sport events, whether they'll ever be able to, you know, will YouTube ever be able to stream the World Cup or something like that? Like you're talking huge money contracts there, but you'll certainly get a lot of people watching from around the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sports in particular is pretty exciting too, because it hasn't really been explored too much, especially on the Twitch side. I know they've done a lot with music in terms of making a full category on Twitch for music and signing musicians like Logic. And I've seen a lot of musicians on Twitch in general. And sports, there's been some start, but I think not really live sports as much. So, and every time you have, you know, some big sporting event that's happening, it's usually being streamed on Twitch and people are watching it, albeit illegally, but it's happening. So I think there is an audience for that kind of thing if it's done correctly. And it probably isn't as big for amateur leagues versus, you know, the big top matches happening. But I think if you have that consistent schedule going with sports matches for any league and kind of start building that audience, then people will come out for that thing. Because honestly, I just love watching anything with Twitch chat reaction if I have that ability.
That honestly is the biggest selling point, isn't it? Like, it's so fun to watch anything with Twitch chat reaction, because I feel the same way about Reddit. Like, so many times I'll open up a Reddit thread and the top comment will like make me laugh so much, and I'll be like, why am I not that witty and quick? But then you've got to remember there's like 10,000 comments and the top one's been upvoted to the top, so you know you're picking from the top pool. But I feel the same way. So many things would be enhanced with Twitch chat. Funny that you talked about sport events and like being illegally streamed, because one of my all-time favorite Twitch clips, which probably doesn't exist anymore because of DMCA, was a guy who was streaming the UFC illegally, pretending it was a video game. So he still had his like portrait in the bottom corner and like an Xbox controller like this, as if he was playing, but it was the actual fight happening in the background. It was absolutely comical, because trying to find a loophole, I'm pretty sure he got banned from the platform, but it was a really comical clip to watch anyway. So yeah, plenty to look forward to, I think, in terms of streaming on Twitch. That maybe segues quite nicely into our question of the week, which kind of also came up in the topics we wanted to discuss anyway. So our viewer question this week comes from Prey Bones, a nice easy name for us. Thank you very much for your question, who asked, hey, I wanted to say... Oh, wait, this is just plugging us, but I'm going to read it anyway. Hey, I want to say I love the videos you make. I recently discovered the podcast as well. Great stuff. I have a question for the podcast. Have either of you heard of the new streaming service, Glimish? The alpha starts in about 4 days, and I wanted to get your thoughts on a new platform starting. Can another platform compete with the giants that are out there now? Would it be worthwhile to stream to a platform as a new streamer? Thanks in advance, and keep up the amazing work. So... yeah, Glimish, and I think a couple of other platforms, but certainly Glimish has come up a couple of times this week in my Twitter feed, which is, I guess, like a lot of these platforms, trying to be a Twitch competitor, but probably built from the ground up by a handful of dedicated developers. But they actually launched today, and it's annoying that we record this podcast so early in the morning, because if we'd done it in about 4 hours' time, we could have seen some of the launch event. Have you heard of Glimish, Ben?
I had not heard of Glimish until this question. So thank you for the question and for letting me look into this. Like you said, it does seem like it launches today, and there was an alpha period that was kind of... there's a countdown on the front of the page that shows you when it's going to go live, 4 hours from the recording of this podcast. First impressions, just going through the site. First of all, it looks like it's more put together than some of like the other streaming platforms that we've heard of recently. What were the ones that came out with? There were a couple that got announced that I can't think of the name.
Beam
of.
Was Beam one, or was that one that got acquired? I can't even remember now. There's so many.
Mixer.
That's right. That's right.
But there were a couple other ones on Twitter that kept just making tweets, basically like, our streaming platform will be amazing.
Brime, something.
Yeah,
Brime. I knew it was something like that.
Yeah, Brime was one of them. I think there were two that came out that were kind of just like these mythical platforms that never actually existed, or it just kind of made all these big promises and then never actually built a platform. So first of all, I want to say Glimish does not seem to be that. It does seem to be an actual streaming platform, so rest assured. However, it's kind of like a weird experience now. It hasn't fully launched at the time of this podcast. There's like one stream up right now that's just a countdown to launch, and it's got like 25 people watching it, so it's kind of not maybe the best judge of the platform right now. But looking at the UI of that stream, it has a kind of similar feel to how Mixer felt, in my opinion, the same kind of colors and design. There's more customization around it with like a custom chat background. And it seems like I looked into their documentation, and one of the big things they talk about is like discovery is a huge focus of this platform. So at least they have that in mind. I don't know what that actually looks like on the platform, because again, it's not really live yet, but we'll kind of have to see what that ends up being like. Personally, on the question of like, can a new platform compete with the giants? I think it could. This platform on first glance does not look like it's finished to me, and it is an alpha, so that makes sense. I don't think in its current state it's going to compete with Twitch and YouTube, but potentially it could get there. But again, it kind of reminds me of Mixer, which is maybe not the greatest thing considering what happened to Mixer recently. I don't know. I have my doubts about it personally. I would not look to jump to this right away. Pete, what's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean, kind of the same. It looks aesthetically, I think, very much like Mixer. So I don't know if they've taken that as their design choice, but it still screams to me like it's a platform that's been built by just a few people, and we're talking about really difficult things to build here, like live video at scale is very difficult to build and very expensive, which is why a lot of these platforms have big ideas but eventually go nowhere. So maybe in my pessimistic view, unless they have serious money behind them in terms of being bought by Microsoft like Mixer was, I just can't see how they would be able to solve all these technical issues to be able to compete with a platform like Twitch. I get that it's really exciting to talk about a new platform and, you know, oh, this is going to solve all my growth issues, I'm going to stream on this platform. But when I went across to look at it, I was like, I was surprised at how much hype had been built about a platform that, you know, didn't it. I know it's an early alpha and it's not meant to look polished or anything like that, but even the fact that there was only one stream, I would expect quite a lot of people to be watching it, but there's only 24 people, you know, watching the countdown. So we'll see. It's annoying, like I said, that we're recording this podcast only a few hours before the launch, and when this podcast goes live, the platform will be live in its early alpha. So we'll probably know a lot more about it after the launch. But the launch itself, I think, is like a 12-hour stream or 10-hour event. Here we go. 10-hour event with interviews from your favorite streamers, bots, tools, and more. So they've got like a schedule up where they're sort of doing an hour with various different streamers. I can't say I've heard of any of these streamers, but certainly some of the software like Couchbot I've heard of before. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, and we're going to know a lot more about it in a few hours. But I would just say, in general, when these platforms launch, I've been speaking way too much this morning. My throat keeps going. In general, they don't usually amount to anything. So I would always be a bit wary.
Yeah, there's a couple things I want to say too about it. First of all, they have education as one of their big categories on the platform. So it's gaming, art, music, tech, IRL, and education, which I think education is kind of new. Definitely on the Twitch side, there's not much educational-wise, I think. Maybe on YouTube, there's more for live streaming. I haven't really looked as much into YouTube, but that could be a cool little niche if they go down that route. Maybe tech as well is kind of not as explored on Twitch, so maybe there's some potential there. The other thing I want to say was they announced their 10-hour stream that they have for the event or whatever. And I think it's just really funny. They have all these streamers listed that are like the Glimesh streamers. Like, here's my channel for Glimesh. So I don't know if they've already like signed people to come over and stream the platform, or if people are just preemptively saying, I am a Glimesh streamer now. Kind of like how people announced their Valorant pros before the game came out, essentially. I just find that really funny. So people are already betting on this platform, I guess. We'll have to see what happens. I think I'm too scarred after all the recent platforms that have launched, with like Trovo and DLive and these platforms that had a gimmick that didn't really go anywhere or didn't really have full support behind them. I mean, DLive even had PewDiePie and didn't really make a dent as far as I know. So I don't know. I'm skeptical, but I will definitely keep an eye on Glimesh. If it does pop up, then more power to them. I'd love to see more players come in and compete with Twitch and YouTube and offer new services and a better experience than Twitch has. But, you know, a little pessimistic, to be honest with you, to see what they can do. We'll have to keep an eye on it.
Yeah, I think my answer from like a coding engineering point of view as to if a platform can compete with the giants is, it's not like just building a different app where you can have like some unique feature that makes it better. Like, it's very hard to do what Twitch and YouTube do. So just to start it as a hobby project with a few friends or a handful of people, and I've got to be honest, I don't know how many people are working behind the scenes on Glimesh, but it's a very difficult technical problem to do and for it to scale. So I would personally say I don't think another platform right now can compete with the giants unless they are bought or owned by a different tech giant that doesn't have a live streaming platform yet. And as for whether you as a new streamer should stream on a platform like that, I would say keep your eye on it. If it tends to grow and there's some really unique features behind it, then we'll definitely keep covering it on the podcast. So keep listening to the podcast and hearing our opinions. But I don't think it's worth focusing on a platform where you have no idea if it's even going to be around in 2 months' time. I would much rather create content on a platform like YouTube, and at least every subscriber that you get over there for your content will then be able to find your stream if you end up choosing YouTube to stream. So yeah, I would be hesitant, but I'm certainly not against new companies trying to come in and take this space. I just, yeah, like you, I've been burnt with too many hype stories where the platforms are dead within a month or 2 months after their launch.
I do want to say, so something I've seen people say recently is that if Mixer had still been here over the past couple of months, they would have been a lot bigger because of all the fiasco. You guys have been here. We've talked about all the issues that Twitch has had recently with advertising and just issues of purple screen of death and that kind of thing. So there is an argument that, you know, maybe this is a good time for a new platform to come in because Twitch is kind of, you know, not doing the best job right now. I personally still don't think that'll be the case with, I always forget the name of the platform, Glimish, but we'll have to see. This is the case, I guess. And if Glimish can break out, then more power to him, like we said. So hopefully that happens.
And also maybe the other thing to mention is that, you know, I see a lot of people talking about how if Mixer was still around today with all of the issues that we've been talking about over the past few weeks with Twitch, Mixer would have been more successful. But, you know, that's hindsight, really. And you can't definitely say that that would be the case. I know a lot of people are upset at Twitch, but how many of them that are upset at Twitch are actually leaving the platform to stream on an alternative like YouTube or Facebook? So I don't know if that's necessarily true. One thing is for sure is that Mixer was a platform that worked well, had some advantages over Twitch, and still struggled to grow a user base. So I think Glimish or any other platform like that has their work cut out for them. But we'll see over the next few days, really. Definitely going to catch some of the event today so that I'm clued up and can answer the question even more thoroughly next week. But that will probably do it for this week. So thanks very much for listening or watching if you're watching the video. Be sure to leave us a comment with a question for next week. We always choose one to discuss at the end of every episode. So tag either me or Ben on Twitter, Instagram, or in the YouTube comments, and we will be sure to read them and choose one for next week. Other than that, we'll catch you in the next episode. Peace.
See you guys.